Welcome to our ADAA podcast. Today we're talking about the assessment and treatment of OCD in people with autism spectrum disorders. And my guest today is Dr. Ailsa Russell, who is a senior lecturer and clinical director for the Doctorate in Clinical Psychology at the University of Bath in the United Kingdom. Her research with colleagues at King's College London has focused on studies of people with autism, in particular trying to adapt or develop effective psychological interventions for emotional disorders in this group, with a focus on anxiety and OCD. Welcome, Dr. Russell.
Thank you, Jean.
Could you begin by addressing the co-occurrence of OCD and symptoms of autism spectrum disorders, or ASD, and talk a little bit about how common this combination is?
Sure. Well, I first got interested in this area because I was working with people with autism, and I noticed myself clinically that lots of them seemed to struggle with problems with anxiety, in particular obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD. And when we look at the literature, we find that with studies of both children and young people and adults have lots of problems with anxiety and mood disorders, and in particular with obsessive-compulsive disorder and social phobia. And so some of the studies suggest that about a quarter of young people and adults with ASD will have comorbid OCD. So it's a pretty common combination in the group.
Okay. What are the challenges in assessing these disorders, and if symptoms overlap, how do you separate the two?
For sure, that's a really good question. It's actually the question I get asked the most. Because one of the characteristics of autism, or one of the core symptom domains, is repetitive behaviors, it can be quite difficult to work out whether something is an anxiety-based OCD symptom or if it's a repetitive behavior that's really part of an autism disorder. So in order to work that out, you can do it if you're very careful, and if you take a good history of the problem, you spend a bit of time with the person, and maybe get another person who knows them very well, like a parent or a carer, and find out a little bit about them, about when the problem with OCD might have started. If you interview the person with care and spend particular time trying to make sure if something is an anxiety symptom, like an OCD symptom, or if it's something that they just do that's part of their autism. So for sure, you can do it, but it's something you just need to spend a bit more time over.
And untangle.
Yeah.
Untreated OCD, we know, like all anxiety disorders, can have disastrous effects. And can you talk specifically about the effects of untreated OCD in someone on the autism spectrum?
Well, I wish I could talk specifically, but nobody's quite done that study yet. I guess probably the effects of untreated OCD in someone with autism is just the same as somebody without autism, in that it's a source of distress and disability and has an impact on their life. But probably for someone with autism, it's an additional source of distress and disability. So they've got an awful lot to contend with anyway. Mm-hmm. And then having OCD on top of that, it seems like it's a bit of a secondary problem. There is some evidence with anxiety problems in general, so not just OCD, that for children with autism, anxiety problems lead to increased behavioural problems, which families struggle with. And there's also a really good study by my colleagues at King's College London, which led by Tim Cadman, which found that for adolescents with autism, that unmet mental health needs in general were an additional burden on the family and led to increased carer burden. So certainly, it's not just a problem for the person themselves, but also for their support network and their family and loved ones.
And no doubt, school.
Yes.
Issues as
well.
Well,
yeah, sure, that can have a big impact on school.
Well, let's switch to treatment approaches. So let me know what you've found effective for people with OCD and ASD.
Okay. Well, I'm a clinical psychologist, so I have to say that first. So I'm very invested in psychological treatment approaches or talking therapies. I'm not a prescriber. There are some, prescribers and psychiatrists who are looking into whether some common drug treatments would be helpful for OCD and autism. But I'm more interested in psychological treatments, and lots of people prefer to have talking therapy anyway. So we've done a couple of studies and found that actually if you adapt to standard cognitive behavioral therapy, so the most effective psychological treatment for OCD, if you take into account that someone has autism, it can be just as effective in reducing the symptoms and bringing about a good treatment effect.
So treatment for OCD affects treatment for ASD in a positive way generally?
Well, it reduces the OCD symptoms. Mm-hmm. It's not going to do anything about autism, but it's going to stop that additional distress and disability caused by the obsessive-compulsive disorder.
Okay. And so maybe just dive in a little bit about what patients can expect in treatment. I guess children and their families, if there's any light you can shed on just what it means to go through treatment.
Well, what it means to go through treatment, I guess, is that they're going to have to spend that little bit of time with their clinician working out what's the OCD, so what might be the thing that you can treat and do something about, and how can we kind of understand that, in a way, in a psychological way. So how do we understand the vicious cycle of anxiety and its role in keeping the obsessions and compulsions going? And then I guess once everybody's ready, the idea is that you start to do what you do in cognitive behavior therapy, which is exposure and response prevention. So typically, in a careful and planned way, putting yourselves in the situations that trigger the obsessions and compulsions and trying to do things a bit differently. So I guess for a person and their family, they can expect that they will be planning to get a bit more anxious. The support network might need to help people with that and be ready to support somebody who's going through treatment.
And know that it's a commitment of time and effort everybody's part. Is there a typical length of time that you see patients seeing results or feeling relief?
What we find is that people with autism and comorbid OCD need a little bit longer than your usual treatment, and that they need to spend a little bit of time longer with the therapist at the beginning. So sometimes the early stages of therapy take a bit longer than they would do. So maybe 5 sessions more than there's not a golden rule, but just that you could expect to have a little bit more time with your therapist.
Does that depend also on where somebody might be on the autism spectrum?
In my experience, no.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
How do patients maintain their treatment once they have gone through CBT and have had a positive experience?
Well, we found actually in our randomized control trial, so we did a well-controlled treatment study, that actually the people who improved and whose OCD got better, they stayed better over 12 months when we followed them up a year later, which was great. I was so glad to see that. So it's perfectly possible that people will maintain their treatment gains. We made sure that we gave people the things you would do with most people, a relapse prevention pack. So we put down on paper with them the things they'd found useful in therapy so they could take it away, remind themselves. We enlisted their parent or a carer to help them stay on track with their treatment. I think that's very important for this group.
So what can parents do for their children who they suspect might, or who they know have these disorders, and make sure that their mental health provider is knowledgeable about effective recommended treatments?
Well, what I would suggest is that people encourage their provider not to just accept anxiety as part of autism, and to really think carefully about what can we try and do to change this, that it's not just something that it's not part and parcel of having autism. It's very common, but you can do something about it.
Okay.
So I would encourage people to be a bit assertive with their providers.
And anything else in this field that you'd like to touch on?
Well, I guess just to say I'm really grateful to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America for having me to present at this conference, actually, because I think it's really great that expert anxiety researchers who don't work in the field of autism but are really expert with anxiety are happy to think about this topic and apply their expertise to this group, because I think that's really the way forward. And so, it's great. I'm just really grateful that they're open to it.
Great. We're very grateful for your participation. We've been talking with Dr. Ailsa Russell at the University of Bath in the United Kingdom. And this is Jean Kaplan-Tycho for ADAA.